Week we began a new series in our evening services, playing somewhat on the slogan of the technology company Apple. This company, Apple, they have revolutionized mobile technology. They've given us the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, but they've also given us the phrase, there's an app for that. And so if you want to find out where the nearest bus stop is, if you have the right kind of phone, there's an app for that. If you want to check out how many calories are in your lunch, yes, there's an app for that. If you want to find out, if you can't remember exactly where you parked the car, there's an app for that. But sometimes life calls for something stronger than an app. Long before Apple's slogan, there's an app for that, there were the Psalms. And no matter what situation or what circumstance you are in, there's a psalm for that. Are you feeling lonely? Yes, there's a psalm for that. Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling blessed? Are you feeling confused? There's a psalm for that. But what about when you're worried about your children? What about when you have deep concerns over your grandchildren? What about when you're trying your best to provide for a family? When you're trying your best to make a home? What about when you're thinking of setting up your own home? What about when you're planning to get married? What about when you're stuck with your mum and dad for a few years yet? Well, there's a psalm for that. Psalm 127. Are you building a home this evening? There's a psalm for that. And I just want to focus our attention just on the opening words of this psalm. Not even the entire first verse. Just the opening words. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. I trust we can all commit those words to memory, can't we? Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. Now, I realise the subject of building a home doesn't directly apply to everyone here this evening. You might be single. You might not have your own family. Maybe you feel that your family is shattered beyond recovery. Maybe your family is already raised up and gone. Perhaps you're married and without children. Perhaps you've left home and this is all in front of you, family life. But friends, whatever situation we're in, these words do apply to all of us this evening. Because all of us live in a home, don't we? We're all very privileged and fortunate to have nice homes to live in. Well situated, safe to live in, safe for any children to play in. Homes we can be proud of. But the issue before us all this evening is God building our home? In a spiritual sense, and a very real sense, is God building our home? Is He the one who's building up our families? We want to ask this evening, how does He do this? How does God build up a home? How does He raise up a Christian community within families? Parents and children living together for the few short years, really, that they have together. How does God build the house? Because if God does not build the house, as we read, then we're building in vain. We can bring everything into our homes and we can give everything to our children, but without God, it's vain, it's meaningless, it's useless. And it will bear no lasting fruit unless God Himself is actually building up the home. So how does God build homes for His people? Well, let me say four things this evening about God's work in building homes. Firstly, God lays the foundations of our homes. God lays the foundations of our homes. It's important, isn't it, to have good foundations. Didn't Christ tell the parable of two builders, one of whom realized the importance of having good foundations, and the other didn't? He just wanted to put the house up straight away, and because he had no foundation, the house fell when the time of testing came. You see, it's a foundation that matters. However, it's not really the foundation that people notice when they come to your house. They don't say, "What a beautiful foundation you've got here." They don't ooh and ah over your foundation. They look at the decor, the furniture, maybe the view. But yet, without the foundation, the most basic element, there can be no lasting or secure home. Well, friends, God's in the business. We can say that. He's in the business of building homes. And he lays foundations upon which we can build. And he's given us the greatest foundation of all in his word, in the revelation of himself that he's given to us. That's where we need to begin. We need to begin with the Bible. We need to begin with the God of the Bible. Isn't that how the Bible itself begins? What are the opening words? In the beginning, God. Brilliant. It just assumes and it just makes very, very clear God exists. Just takes it for granted. In the beginning, God. And just as the Bible begins with God, so you and I should begin with God. My 4-year-old nephew, Sam, loves playing with jigsaws. And he's one particular jigsaw which can only be built around a centerpiece. Once he's got the centerpiece in, then everything else fits around this centerpiece. That's the idea here. Our homes must begin with God first. We must put him first, and then everything else fits around him. Many people today, they're unable to solve the puzzle of life because they will not put this piece in first. There's a God-shaped hole in every heart. People try to fill it with money, with sex, with alcohol, with their family even, with their career. But nothing and no one can fill that void but God himself. And it's here, in his word, that the foundation of family life is laid down for us. The word of God. Everything he tells us in the Bible, he tells us so that we can enjoy the blessing of his presence in our homes and the blessing of his presence in our families. And we can choose to ignore it. We can choose to go down a worldly path, as many homes and families are. We can choose to bring up our children, not really to bother with church. We can choose to show them that church is an optional extra. You can take it or leave it. We can choose to bring up our children on a diet of television instead of the truth of God's word. But if we leave God out of the picture, friends, all of the building is in vain. It's meaningless. You could work extremely hard at building your family. You could be very diligent at providing for them, getting up early, staying up late, making sacrifices, providing what they need. But if your foundations are not right, you're wasting your time, God says. And so we begin with beginnings. We begin with the foundation. How is the foundation of your home this evening, friends? What are you building your family upon? What are you building your home upon? Is it being built on God's word? Is this your foundation? Does it have a primary place in your homes? I'm not speaking in the very center of your home on the coffee table, but if your walls could speak, I wonder, could they speak about how much the God's word takes first place in your home? Does family worship take place? Perhaps it slipped lately. Do you read and pray with your children? Are your children grounded in the knowledge of God's word? Are they being trained up in God's word? Even when they've left the nest, are you still doing this family worship? Is God's word still central? All of our homes, they're to be grounded deep, the deeper the better, in the word of God, helping us to stand firm when times of testing come. And you don't need me to tell you that times of testing will no doubt come. So how is your foundation this evening? God gives us foundations for our homes. But then secondly, God builds the walls of our homes. God builds the walls of our homes. Now, the walls of our physical homes, they have several functions, don't they? For one, they provide security. They give safety. They give peace from the cold outside and all the elements. We have walls. That's not to say that there can't be storms inside the house sometimes, but even so, inside these walls, it's a safe environment. The people inside, they are guarded. And friends, God builds up Christian homes within which there is security and peace and safety. Homes within which people can go to with their difficulties and their problems and their needs. He builds up these secure walls for our homes. And if he does this, if he builds up walls for our homes, for our families, then it will be well for us. We won't necessarily be free from difficulties and troubles, but we will know the peace that he gives and the security that he gives. You parents, bringing up children with all of the cost that's involved, all the emotional cost that's involved in bringing up children, God gives you these walls of security and peace so that even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of emotional upheaval, you can bring your children to him. And the peace of God can guard you and can keep you in Christ Jesus. And you young people here this evening, let me say this to you. It's a wonderful thing to be brought up in a loving home. It's a thing that many children throughout the world don't have today. And if you're growing up in a home where you are loved and where you are provided for and where you are helped and where you are directed, then you have a great privilege. That's a very, very special thing. But you have something even better than all that, because you're growing up in a home where you can learn all about Jesus. God has put you in that home, and God has given you parents who can teach you the Bible and pray for you. And he's surrounding you with these walls of care and protection. And so, young people this evening, you are so privileged in the home in which God has placed you. He's given us these walls, walls of safety. But then walls, they do another thing. They identify our home. Not only do they give us safety, but our walls identify our home. You can point to the structure in which you live, marked out by those walls, and you can say, that's my home. That's where I stay. That's my house. Your walls, they identify your home. God wants his people to be identified. He wants to be able to point to them and point to the walls of their Christian identity that mark them out. He wants to be able to point to the homes of his people and point to their behavior and their lifestyles, their pattern of living. He wants to be able to point to homes in this community and be able to say, that's a house that I built. That's a house I'm still building. He wants to be able to point to your home, friends, and say, here's a house, here's a place wherein I am worshipped and loved and served, and where I receive all the glory. These walls that identify families where a godly generation is raised and brought up. Homes where parents pray for their children and teach their children and expose their children to the great insights of God's word. If God wanted to point to such a home, could he point to your home this evening, friends? Could he point to yours? Could he point to your lifestyle and your behaviour, to your pattern of living? Could he say of your address, here's a place where I'm worshipped. Here's a place where I'm loved. Here's a place where I am served. Because, friends, if he's building our house, it will have these walls. Walls of identity. Walls of security. God gives us walls. He gives us a foundation. He gives us walls. But then thirdly, God gives us windows in our homes. God gives us windows. Windows that let the light in. Windows that lighten up our homes, that illuminate our homes. If we live the way God wants us to live, and if we fulfill our responsibilities as we ought, and if you parents, if you give your children a firm foundation, then the lives of our families will be flooded with light. There are a few things worse than bringing up a child in spiritual darkness. We pass a house quite often near where we live, and the curtains are always pulled. Never are they open. It must be so dark inside. But friends, there are many, many homes around us. The curtains may not be pulled, but still they are so, so dark. And there is no light ever gets in. God is never mentioned. God is never worshipped. The Bible is never opened. Church is never attended. The children, they could be given everything, but yet given nothing. Friends, unless God is building our house, we're laboring in vain. He makes sure that in the homes and families of his people, there are windows, and they ought to let the light come flooding in. And so we give the sacrament of baptism to our children, not to make them Christians. We can't do that at all. But so that the vows under which they are being raised, they are vows to promise to let the light in. Vows to promise to let the light of God's truth surround them every moment. Vows that we will let the light in. Friends, we are to let the light in. Maybe you took baptism vows a long time ago, and you promised that the light of God's word would shine in on your children. But maybe the curtains were drawn too long. Maybe you didn't read the word of God with them as often as you should have. Maybe you didn't pray for them as often as you should have. Maybe you didn't speak to them about Jesus as often as you should have. Open the curtains, God says. Let the light into your home. Tell them about him who says, I am the light of the world. Now, of course, windows, they don't just let the light in, but they also let us see out. If you want to give your children the best perspective on life, let them look at the world in light of the scriptures. Teach them how to look at the world. Teach them how to view the world through scripture-tinted spectacles. There's a rainbow in the sky. Explain to them what the rainbow means. Explain to them why a Sunday is different from other days. explain to them when they get older about relationships, about the role of a boy and a girl in relationships, about how to dress, teach them how to view the world. Because God gives us windows. Windows to let light in, windows to let us see out. And so we have our foundation, we have our walls, we have our windows. But fourthly, we're not going to complete the house this evening, but fourthly, we will get doors. God gives us doors in our homes. Entry points and exit points in our families. Your children come in one day, and one day your children will leave. Our families, they are constantly in a state of flux. Visitors come and visitors go. Life brought people in, and death will take people out. Nothing constant. Everything changes. But this God is our God, and He's giving us His blessing. And He's building our homes so that those who come in through these doors, they should know that this is a place where God is honoured and worshipped. And so I do hope that you have visitors through your doors. Hospitality is a requirement for elders, but it's also to be expected of all believers. And so I do hope that you have people coming in and out through your doors. And the challenge is, they're not all to be Christians. They're not all to be people from the church going in and out through our doors. God has given us these doors. And I wonder, when people come into our homes, are they struck by the fact that these homes, they're God-honouring and God-glorifying? Or are we simply carried along by the stream of this world so that really our lifestyles are very little different from the world? Really our habits, our family life, the routines of our family, the routines of our home, they're no different from the world around us. Let's remember, friends, unless God is building our house, we're building in vain. So let's pledge even this evening that whatever else we have, whatever resources we can draw on, whatever physical buildings we might live in, whatever things we possess, whatever we can give our children, let's have this written over our lives and over our homes and over our families. Unless God is doing the building, unless God is at the center of everything that we do, we're labouring in vain. Unless God is building our family, everything else is in vain. Because He is the master builder. He is the divine architect. We ought to look to Him and serve Him and ask Him to build your home. Because unless He is building, your labouring is in vain. You might have noticed in your Bible that this is a psalm that was written by Solomon. Solomon is the author of this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course. Out of all the psalms, do you know how many Solomon wrote? Two. This psalm and Psalm 72 that we know of, that are ascribed to him. Of course, Solomon, bar the Lord Jesus Christ, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. But what about Solomon? What did he make of this psalm? What did Solomon learn from this psalm? Well, Solomon's life, his family life, was pretty much a mess. He had multiple wives. They led him away from God. His son, his successor to the throne, Rehoboam, he rejected wisdom and split the kingdom. Solomon's family life was a complete shambles. And so isn't it ironic that Solomon has written this psalm? He failed to apply these very words. If anyone needed to put this psalm into practice, it was Solomon. And so it's possible, friends, to be the author of this psalm and not to put it into practice. It's possible to know this psalm very well and to know it even off by heart. It's possible to sing this psalm a lot and not to put it into practice. Or perhaps Solomon is writing this psalm at the very end of his life. And he's looking back with hindsight and with regret as he writes this world. And if so, that really makes the psalm more poignant and more meaningful. He admits that he's made mistakes. And friends, haven't we all made mistakes in the building of our homes? And he's saying here that unless God does the building, everything that we do is in vain. And so, friends, let's make sure we have this faith in this Lord, this master builder. Let's ask him to build us up on good foundations. Let's ask him to put up walls around us, walls of security and identity. Let's ask him to flood our homes with light so that we can see and that we might be able to see the world better. Let's ask him to guard the doors of our homes so that in our going out and our coming in, and all those who go out and come in with us, they'll know that this God is our God. And friends, we can be assured that homes such as these, homes, families that are built by God, they will be powerful witnesses for Jesus Christ. In a day such as ours, such homes will be beacons shining in the darkness. May God be so pleased to build us up. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Amen.